The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the title of our series of lectures is Karbala, the Enlightened Journey. Just like yesterday, brothers and sisters, I'd like to begin the speech today by reminding us of the merit of this gathering here. I want to turn to the life history of Ayatollah Behjad Marhum. You all know that this great scholar was something special, somebody who reached levels and heights and stations that we can only see glimpses of when we look at his prayer, when we look at the wisdom of his teachings. But his station is something that's beyond our comprehension. What were the habits of this great individual who was with us until not too long ago? One of the customs of Ayatollah Behjad Marhum, we're told by his son, is that every week he would make it a duty of his to commemorate a majlis and to attend that majlis in the honor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This custom of his son says, went on for close to 50 years of his life. Even when Ayatollah Behjad was sick, he would insist that this part of his agenda should not be left behind. He has to attend it. And he would insist on it. His son says that he would make it a point to be there on time from the beginning to the end of the majlis. And at one point, he comments to his son. He says that, my son, it's been 50 years. But if I look at these 50 years and I look at the importance of these majalis, I would say that even 50 years isn't enough. So my advice to you is that even when I leave this world, you continue this tradition. One of the very interesting and useful things for us on these nights, inshallah, will be to see what was it that led people to abandon Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One of the people who falls into this category was somebody named Ahnaf ibn Qais. Ahnaf is somebody that probably we haven't heard of. He's not somebody that usually comes up in the history of Islam. But his example is super important for us to understand the Jahiliyyah at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Remember, the Jahiliyyah at the time of the Prophet, as we read in the ayah, was one where somebody in their passion and bigotry, they're willing to take a stand which is unjust. But now things have become more sophisticated. Now you have people who are taking a different approach, but achieving the same result. So who is Ahnaf? Ahnaf is somebody who converts to Islam in a way which is recorded in history. Because he was from a tribe that was holding out. They weren't converting to Islam. They were the Tamimi tribe. And our Prophet had invited this tribe to accept Islam, but they refused. Until he told Ahnaf, Ahnaf, these are your people. Why don't you go and talk to them? So Ahnaf goes and he tells them that the Prophet of God is teaching you something which is the best of virtues and akhlaq. This is what he wants from you. And he's prohibiting for you what is the worst of akhlaq and the worst of virtues. Why don't you come and accept his message? And because he was from them, they saw that this is something that we can do. And all of them accepted Islam. So he was known in history for being the one who converted or caused the Tamimi tribe to accept Islam. And when the Prophet heard that, what he had done, he said, Allahumma ghfir Ahnaf. O Allah, forgive Ahnaf. He prayed for him. This is considered a mark of respect for him. Now Ahnaf, throughout the years, he's a warrior. He supports Islam. But he's one of those people who has a type of issue with the wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So we see in the fitna that happened surrounding Uthman and who he's going to support, and Talha and Zubair, Ahnaf is somebody who takes a stance of neutrality. What he does is, on one hand, he gives the bay'ah to Imam Ali alayhi salam. On the other hand, he tells Talha and Zubair, he says that, you know, you are setting up your stronghold in Basra, I'm from Basra. I have given bay'ah to Imam Ali alayhi salam. I don't wish to fight against him. But at the same time, I don't wish to fight against the mother of the believers. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to take a stance where I'm neither against you, nor am I for you. I'm neither against Imam Ali alayhi salam, nor am I for Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what is Ahnaf doing? Ahnaf is taking the creed of the Murji'ah, and now he's acting upon it. So at a key time when Imam Ali alayhi salam needs his support in the Battle of Jamal, this warrior, this companion who is influential, he's an eloquent person, he abandons Imam Ali alayhi salam. The same Ahnaf ibn Qais, if you go and study his history, when Imam Ali alayhi salam becomes a shaheed, now Muawiyah is the ruler, he makes his way to Muawiyah. And he goes for a private audience. Muawiyah tells him that, wait, aren't you the one who we saw was supporting Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, at this time and that time? Of course, he knew his history, that he was very wishy-washy. And eventually Muawiyah gives him a good sum of money. And Ahnaf is now somebody who is allied with Muawiyah. And now Ahnaf, of course, we know his history, right? He has this type of approach of neither this nor that. There comes a time when Muawiyah tells him that, Ahnaf, I want you to prove your loyalty to me. I want you to curse Imam Ali alayhi salam. Ahnaf says that, Muawiyah, don't make me do this, right? I'm your supporter, I've been with you, but this one thing don't make me do. Muawiyah says to him, what if I forced you to do it? What if I told you to go on the minbar and to curse Imam Ali alayhi salam? What would you do? So Ahnaf is clever. He says that, I would go to the minbar and I would tell the people that you say Ameen after whatever dua I make. And then Ahnaf says that what I would tell them is that, O Allah, one, Muawiyah has asked me to curse Imam Ali Islam. One of the two has been unjust towards the other. O Allah, whoever is the unjust one, please remove your mercy from him, curse him, and accept my dua. And when Muawiyah hears this, you know, he's impressed with the cleverness of Ahnaf, and he says that, okay, you're free. Brothers and sisters, you see what's happening here. Right, there's somebody who, at key points in his life, instead of taking a stance, what he's doing, he's backing off, and he's saying that, I'm not going to take a stance. My stance is one of not taking a stance. Now let's fast forward to history, when Ahnaf now is in Basra, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now leaving Medina. He writes letters to five people in Basra. One of them is Ahnaf ibn Qais. He invites them to join him. He explains the purpose for his mission. The test has now come to Ahnaf. What is Ahnaf going to do? History says that shamefully, Ahnaf did not even respond to the letter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And instead, he's reported to have said that, we have tested the family of Abul Hasan, meaning of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We've tested them, and we've seen that they're not worthy of being the ones who are the political leaders, nor are they one who are worthy of being having military might, nor are they ones who have any wealth that we can enjoy. And therefore, I will not join Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he is somebody who represents a trend at that time, the Murji'ah trend, which says that, in the name of neutrality, we are going to actually support oppression. And when we're now looking and we're trying to examine this new type of jahiliyyah that had descended upon the ummah, we're seeing that this is one of the causes. Now this is very useful for us, brothers and sisters. Why? Why do we do this analysis? Because when we come to these majalis, we want to ask ourselves that, how can I be in a position where I avoid being like Ahnaf and the likes of Ahnaf? and all the other new trends and forms of thinking that might have appeared across the times, they would also be classified as jahiliyyah. Who's to say that history won't repeat itself? And when my imam comes, then I would find some type of ideological excuse. I would be justified in taking a position where I would say that I'm right, wherein actually I'm very much in support of those who are unjust.
Oh, Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, unto my last breath, I will remember Hussein. Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.